We are in Arkhangelsk, and you have seen the performance of the opera Boris Godunov.
Yes.
That you loved. What next?
And then I bought a lot of things in the market. I met, for the first time in my life, I saw American.
And it was a harbor. It was the market was close to where the boats were, or?
No.
No.
In the city.
Okay.
No.
Go ahead.
I met for the first time American, French, English, military people, and they all were walking around the black market doing business, or did I. And I bought things what I need, I took with me home. And that was the end of it, Arkhangelsk.
Okay, wait a minute. So what type of item did you put in your suitcase? Were you interested in bringing back? You gave them, or what did you exchange? You gave them vodka, and they gave you...
No. I bought vodka by a guy, a Jewish guy, and they want vodka, the Americans, all the soldiers. And they gave me American products like chewing gum, chocolate, powder, cream. What else I mentioned?
Chewing gum, chocolate, powder, cream, condoms?
Condoms. I didn't want to say it.
Of course, I say it. There's no problem. Okay. And you just put them in the... Did you have the valise with you before?
No, no.
Or you
the
got
valise
the valise
I had home in the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
I brought home everything and I packed it.
Okay. And you went back for a return trip to Kotlas?
Yeah, Kotlas and Knyaz Bogos.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And during that trip, tell me the story.
Well, I was...
It was on the way to Kotlas that you met that
yes.
woman?
I met a young lady, which was a waitress in that restaurant I used to go on the railroad.
And that lady was in the restaurant, not in Kotlas, but in...
Knyaz Pogorsk.
Go ahead.
And so I recognized her, she remembered me, and we sit down, because, you know, like, we know each other. And we had a drink, we had something to eat, and we were sitting half a night and talking. And then we went to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
When we arrived to Kotlas, I want her to help me carry a suitcase of mine where I had most of those things.
Do you remember by any chance her name? No.
No, I don't know. I didn't know her well. I didn't know her just like, I don't have any idea.
Mm-hmm.
And I made with her an exchange. She carried my suitcase and I carried her suitcase.
Okay.
And I said to her, we're going to meet in the place where we give away to storage the suitcases
mm-hmm.
for the day, because we had to wait for a train from Kotlas to Knyaz Pogost for 8 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, we're going to meet, we give away, and I didn't want to walk with her because she had that suitcase which had those
mm-hmm.
all the Hazarai.
Okay.
But walking out from the train, you had to go through a gate. And there was standing a general, which was in my car in the train, standing in his socks in a newspaper. He was standing in a newspaper with his socks.
Mm-hmm.
And he pointed with the finger to me, that he meant to say in Russian, that dirty face, he was there too. and I didn't know what he's talking about, and they arrested me. They took me into the station, and there were two more men standing next to him. They're arrested already. I mean, you know, holding back, and they take them in, and they took each one in a separate room, and they take me in a room with an officer, and they open my suitcases, and they ask me, what is this, what did they saw, but why I have so many things of the, my items. Then they open the suitcase, what that young lady had, I was carrying, and mm-hmm. they saw ladies, all kind of clothes, underwear and everything else, nothing else. So the officer asked me, what is this? I said, this is a lady who I helped with the suitcase. Where is she? I said, she went there to give away, in the storage.
Mm-hmm.
So they took a policeman, an officer, and they sent to the storage there with me, because I had to show who she is, and he took her by the arm mm-hmm. in the station. She was screaming. She didn't know what happened. Well, what's going on? Well, she came in, and my officer, who checked me, asked her if this is her belonging. She said, yes. So that they gave her the suitcase, and they'll tell her to go. In the meantime, they took mm-hmm. from her my suitcase, what she was carrying, and opened again, and they saw the whole thing that I had there. So he asked me, what is this? For who is this? For who is that? Anyway, he asked me questions. I answered. And I was under arrest. He closed the suitcases, and we were waiting for the next train. And he gave me a policeman to guard me. I didn't see that girl anymore. She went probably another car. And I was under arrest with him, and they took me back home from where I come, Knyaz Pogost.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so on the way, that policeman who was guarding me, I used to do business with him all the time, because he was traveling on the train. He brought me vodka. I used to buy from him. So I told him to release me. He said, no, because if I release you, I get arrested. So anyway, when we came home to Knyaz Pogost, we passed by where I lived, in that barrack. And I stopped in to my friend David Gruda, and I told him, go to my director there from the railroad and tell him that I'm arrested. So when I was there maybe an hour or something, an hour and a half, I see my Mr. Oleg Pachekin
mm-hmm.
coming in and goes into the chief of police. And in about 10, 15 minutes, he came out. He gave a little smile, not directly, but I saw. Anyway, he was there. He knew everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And a few minutes later, they called me into the chief of police. And he asked me, what is this? Well, who is this? So I told him, we have so many girls, I need this. We have boys, I need this. The vodka I need for them and for me and everything. You know, I made all excuses. So he starts smiling. He says, yes, you can get 10 years for it. So I said to him, well, I'm in your hands. So he said, close up and go. Okay. And he didn't say, don't do it again. Don't get caught again.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yeah.
He couldn't say that, don't do it. Why should he say it? So I went home with all of this merchandise, and I go up to the office of my director, Oleg Pachekin, and he greeted me very well. Then he said, go home and rest. And I went to his wife, his apartment, and I brought what I had to bring, food and vodka and honey and bacon, whatever I had, we shared.
Mm-hmm.
So she says to me that the husband, Oleg, said I should come for dinner
Do you remember her name?
No.
No.
I should come for dinner at 5 o'clock. So 5 o'clock I come to the door, I hear a lot of noise talking. And I open the door, maybe 10 or 12 people sitting at the table and joking and eating and drinking. My vodka, my everything what I had, what I brought, and sitting, joke, all the kind of jokes. And I come in, I was shaky, I didn't know where I am, what I'm doing here. The chief of police, the chief of KGB, mm-hmm. all of those directors from all the kind of things, and I really didn't belong there. So they asked me a few questions about Poland anyway, and we had a good time. And that was the situation. I was free like a bird. But I'm glad that he wasn't there, that son of a bitch from the KGB, that Yakovlev.
But that agent from the KGB was also in that town.
Oh, yeah.
Pietrzygorsk.
Knyaz. Start with the K.
Knyaz.
Pogost. Oh, this is all from that town, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But police, KGB, two different...
institutions.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have now the story of both Valentina and the trip to Arkhangelsk. Now we're going to also go in the third piece that I wanted you to talk to us a little bit about, and this is Musia's story.
Well, this is in Krasnodar already.
Okay. So now we go from the railroad job, the summer of 1942. You were already then an agent for the railroad.
Yes.
Delivering confirmation papers.
Whatever.
And
yeah.
Other paperwork.
I went.
And then the decision came that all of the Polish citizens had to be transferred to the South.
South, yeah.
So you got, again, in special cattle cars. And headed south.
South. But where are we going? Nobody knew.
So you passed major Russian cities, completely destroyed, like Voronezh, and
Rostov.
And you stopped in Krimskaya.
Yeah, you said it good.
It had been completely destroyed, and it was a canning factory, and no machine had been left. The machinery
the
had
machines,
been picked.
The Russians evacuated.
Working conditions were tough, and then you ended up going to Krasnodar. And through friends, you got a job originally supposedly to be in tailor shop, but ended up being a baker?
Not right away the baker. First I was in that medical institute.
Ah.
You have to put in before the bakery.
Before the bakery.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is... So it's after the tailor story.
Taylor story, forget it. This, I didn't do nothing.
But who got you the job? Was it Yegorov?
Yegorov gave an order to Krimskaya that they should release me from work that I'm needed in Krasnodar.
Okay.
That's how it worked there.
Okay. So in that job, that first job in Krasnodar,
yeah,
that is where you met Musia?
Yeah, when I had that job.
So this will be called Fancy. And in that story, you are working as a guard?
I started as a guard when the restaurant was not open yet. That was a short time, maybe a week or two.
For a student restaurant?
Medical students. It was one of the biggest medical institutes in Russia, in Krasnodar.
Okay. And it was an unfinished place. Okay. So then, how do you learn about
Musa?
Musa.
When the restaurant was finished, they mm-hmm. didn't have somebody else, so they put me to give out the bread to the students.
Of bread distribution.
Yeah, and I went to other things. I went to pick up the bread from the bakery. There was a horse with a wagon. If they needed something to go pick up, some products I used to also do. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
But the main thing was the job when it was lunch. I was cutting the bread and had to be in the scale, you know, waiting.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what happened?
So then, working there, a young lady, Musa, was interested in me. She left me a note that she wants to meet me. That's it. Is it wrong about?
No.
Nothing wrong.
No. But, you know, you were, distributing bread and she gave you a note?
No. They were standing in the line for the bread
mm-hmm.
to the counter. You know,
okay.
They came in a whole bunch of students,
yeah.
And they create a line, and everybody got the portions of bread because everything was rationed.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't buy as much as they want to.
Mm-hmm.
So one day somebody gave me a ruble, and there was a piece of paper with a note mm-hmm. in the ruble.
Okay.
And she said there, but she would like to meet me.
Mm-hmm.
And we met.
Okay. So then you met Musa.
Yeah.
Musia or Musa?
Whatever you want. Kiss. Okay. Make it a kiss.
Okay. And so she took the initiative of giving you the note.
Yeah, yeah.
And proposed to meet someplace.
No, we met after lunch, when they finished the lunch.
Mm-hmm.
They got the bread that was sitting at the table, and they got the lunch, and she was sitting there, and I walked over and said hello.
Mm-hmm.
And we started talking, and we met in the evening. And I remember it was a nice walk to the dormitory.
Mm-hmm.
One day I took it there, and we went in the movie several times. And she was studying very hard, naturally.
Okay. What time of the year was that? That was the summer, the winter, the fall, or you don't remember?
Well, over there, I tell you, Krasnodar was not in the north. Also.
No, it was.
Yeah, that much different. It was nice, warm. I don't remember a month, no.
Okay. So then you started having an affair with her?
And no, not right away an affair. We were going out mostly. And I remember I asked the question about she becomes a doctor and I don't have any education because of the war, you know, it was mm-hmm. interrupted for me. And this and that, she said, but she said, smart, in the Soviet Union, it doesn't matter who you are. You could be a shoemaker marrying a doctor. That's what mm-hmm. she said to me. And this was true, too.
Mm-hmm.
See, in Europe or here in America, a doctor is going to marry or a lawyer or a doctor.
Yeah, it's a lot more prestigious function in America than in Russia.
Believe me what I'm saying to you, Misha. I ask that, you know, we're going out,
mm-hmm.
this and that. So how it's going to be, I don't have a profession. I worked here, I worked there, I worked this, I worked war jobs. And I didn't care what I'm doing, just to have a piece of bread. But there in Russia, those young people, they had, they started school and they want to finish school. And life went on there. The Germans were there, occupied Krasnodar 6 months, in Krasnodar.
And this was after that?
This, when I came, was after, yeah, sure. That's why they brought us there, because Krasnodar was a little destroyed, and, they had to go on working, and,
Okay.
I remember they told me before the war, there was no such a thing, it shouldn't be steam in the dormitory, I mean, heat. And here was, there was near Baku, they had all oil, but the oil went everything for the army, not for the medical institute.
Yeah.
You understand? It was still war time. And the food was very...
Russian.
Sure.
Okay. So when did you learn that she wanted to basically have a baby? Did she tell you that directly?
Directly.
Mm-hmm.
And she says to me, I said, what is the reason? I asked the reason, and she told me, that is the reason. If somebody is pregnant for 2 months or more, they cannot take in the army. And she wants to avoid this.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, she got how do you call it, when they call the army?
Release the order to go.
Yeah, to the army.
Mm-hmm.
There's a name for that.
Draft.
Draft. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She got the draft card, right, with the uniform. And in a few.
Right, with her diploma.
Diploma in uniform.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? They wouldn't. Okay. They wouldn't give her a draft. They want to have the diploma that she's a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And. It didn't took too long, maybe 2-3 days she was on a train.
But when you refused, did you even think about it, or it was a moral stand? Was it?
I was right away thinking, I said, I'm away from my home, I have my mother, and I don't know what to say. I didn't know, I was confused. I mean, to me, this is not just doing it.
Yeah.
It's a responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, you have to have a conscience.
Yeah.
But when I received that letter, all of my friends saw that letter. Nobody could believe that I should receive such a kind of letter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So after that negation, she received diploma draft card and uniform. A few weeks later?
No, a few days.
Aaron receives a letter.
Oh, from Berlin.
From her?
Yeah, I didn't tell you that. I told you before.
You said it was not, it couldn't have been from Berlin. Berlin is so far from Krasnodar.
But this was not in a few days. A few days after she received this, she was sent there.
Okay. Okay.
She was sent there. Don't mix this up. After she received the draft card with the uniform, it took maybe 3 days she was on a train.
Okay.
Yeah.
But then a few weeks later...
A few weeks or maybe more than a month, I don't remember.
Okay.
I wish I would have that letter, but...
Too bad you don't have it.
Yeah. So
a few weeks or month later, Aaron received a letter from Berlin?
From Berlin.
So this must have been already in 45.
Oh, sure, this was already 45. This was very close. We left 46.
Mm-hmm.
45, this was probably beginning of 45, whenever they took Berlin, I mean.
They took Berlin in May of 1945.
So this May, May the 9th was over.
That's right. So it's after that that they send the medical students to, or maybe before, I don't know.
Berlin wasn't taken yet.
Was not taken yet.
No,
okay.
No. I received a letter from Berlin.
Mm-hmm.
But she went...
And tell me about that letter, what its content was.
Well, she said to me... Well, mostly she described how it looks, like a slaughterhouse. Wounded, the way she worked with the wounded people, you know. It was, I tell you, I can't remember the words, but it was a very touchy letter. All of my friends read that letter, all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Misha, I don't remember where I didn't destroy it, maybe, I don't know.
So there was no more contact with her ever?
Nothing, because, whatever. No. Nothing.
Did you know where she was originally from? And
I don't remember. I knew.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she was not from that Krasnodar.
Mm-hmm.
No. This, I remember there was a boy, I tell you, a fine boy also from her hometown. He, as a man,
mm-hmm.
was already on the front before he became doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And he came home very bad wounded.
Mm-hmm.
And all the guys in that medical school were walking with crutches. You understand?
Yeah.
There were no men left in the medical school, only girls.
Mm-hmm.
And all the men that came back, they went back to school. And when they came into the restaurant to eat, all of them left the cane or crutches.
Mm. Okay. Okay. So now I think we are caught up with these three stories, and there was a fourth one that we wanted to talk about.
This you're going to be. I didn't want to talk about. You're going to be.
Okay, we'll record it in a separate.
Yeah, you're going to.